Good morning, everyone.
Hope you're all enjoying such a wonderful spring day we've got here today. That's something to be thankful for, isn't it? Okay, so the little series that we're doing over the next 4 weeks, starting from last week, is about, do we have it up? Could I have that? Oh, here we go, yes. Every good gift, looking at the power of thankfulness. So looking at gratitude for the good gifts that God our Father has given us. This is annoying. I'm going to take it over here. All right, and so Tony spoke last week from the passage from James 1, 16 to 18. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all of creation, became his prized possession. So that's the overarching verse for our series, that everything that is good and perfect is a gift from God the Father, and that we should remember to be thankful and be grateful for those things. So today we're going to talk about the gift of friendship, which I was pumped when I found them. Tony gave me that topic, because I love friends, I love being a friend, I love having friends, and it got me reflecting on some of the friendships in my life. And there's one particular story that came to mind, and I was just reflecting over my friendships over my 4 decades of life. And one was a friend called Tammy, and I met her in year 12 through a camp called Wirraway, and we did a lot of volunteering there together over my time I was at uni. And then we got this opportunity to actually go, so the Wirraway, where we used to volunteer, was given some tickets to go to a volunteer breakfast. The government was saying a thank you to the volunteers on National Volunteer Day, which actually happened to be on the Adelaide Cup long weekend. And so Wirraway gave these tickets, said, you guys go and represent Wirraway at this thank you dinner for volunteers. Oh, yes, excellent, let's do this. So we went, whoa, we were like, you know, dagger uni students, but we're like, oh, the Adelaide Cup. We were going to be able to actually stay at the Adelaide Cup for as long as we wanted as well, not just for the breakfast, but to go and mingle with everyone. Oh, let's go all out. Let's, you know, dress up and get, you know, get really into the spirit of Adelaide Cup, and let's, you know, let's go and do this. So we did. We went and we had our breakfast, and we got served by the Premier and big thank yous and everything. And then we went out and mingled on the lawns on the side as the races started. And I don't really give two hoots about the Adelaide Cup, but I thought, let's just embrace this for what it is. And, you know, went out there and we got on the news that night for, you know, people saw us and went, oh, I love what you're wearing. And then the Adelaide Advertiser photographer came up and took a photo of us. And so we got to be in the paper. And so luckily, I asked my mum, rang mum, and she found the paper article for me of us in the paper. Don't know if you can see us. Oh, sorry. Oh, you thought I'm all dressed up. Oh, no, no, we dressed up. Yeah, so that's how we decided to go to the races. The caption at the bottom said, Sarah Jones and Tammy Palm wins the hat competition by a head. That story, even remembering that, just made me remember how thankful I am to have Tammy in my life. There wasn't many other people in my life at that stage that would have done such a crazy thing with me and dressed up in such a silly costume and gone into public looking a little bit weird. But Tammy did, and that is one of the many reasons I love her and I'm grateful and the way she enriches my life. Now, clearly, that's a fun example, but I think we would all acknowledge that friendships benefit our lives in so many ways. Both the highs and the lows of life are better when we have friends. Now, kids, with the piece of paper you've got, there's a square there saying friendship. I wonder if you could draw me a picture of one of your friends, maybe a picture of you and your friend. And if you run out of room to draw all your friends, flip it over and draw some more friends on the back. And so as you're listening to this sermon, have a think about your friends. And adults, if you don't have the piece of paper, maybe see what friends come to mind as we talk today about the gift of friendship. And that's the thing, though. I wonder how often we actually recognize friendship for the good gift that it is. And are we actually regularly thankful to the giver of that gift? The Apostle Paul is a wonderful example of someone in the Bible who is thankful for his friendships. We can see all through his letters that he thanks God for both individuals and communities for very specific and different reasons. Today we'll look at one particular friendship he had that was between Paul and a young guy called Timothy. Timothy met Paul early in his second missionary journey, and they travelled together to many places around the Mediterranean. So Timothy first joined him to be discipled by Paul, but it grew from that mentor-mentee relationship to this deep and wonderful friendship and close friendship. They preached the gospel together, they travelled together, they worked as a team, both in person, but also in different places. You go here and I'll go here. On it, let's do it. So they had such a wonderful and close friendship. But then a few years down the track, Paul was arrested and put into prison in Rome. At what would turn out to be a few months before his death, he ended up being killed for being a Christian. While he was all alone, Paul wrote his final recorded letter. And this was a personal letter dedicated to his friend Timothy. And we have it recorded in our Bibles as the book of 2 Timothy. So let's look at the first part in that. So in 2 Timothy... Oh, I'm going the wrong way. There we go. No, yep, here. Okay, got it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, he writes, "I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. I thank God night and day as I constantly remember you in my prayers." Man, that sounds like someone who is pretty thankful. This passage touches on a couple of key reasons why Paul is thankful for his friendship. And I think that we can use those points to reflect on our own friendships. So in verse 4, he says, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you." So from all the times Paul mentions Timothy in his writings, it's clear that Timothy was one of his closest friends. They'd spent countless hours together, as we said, both doing ministry and life together. And now they were apart. And they were both deeply saddened by the other's absence. Paul mentions Timothy's tears the last time they were together. Maybe, I don't know, but maybe that was Timothy when he was overcome, when Paul got arrested and dragged away to prison. Who knows? I wonder if you can relate to this type of friendship and connection. Is there or has there been someone in your life who's been a true companion to you? Someone who's been more than the horsehead kind of light friendship, but rather someone who has truly been with you through certain chapters of your life, who knows you deeply and knows you well. Maybe who has cried with you and for you, a companion who you long for when they're absent. The companionship that friendship brings is something that we can be so thankful for. Kids, that's point number one. So when there's that first arrow there that says we're thankful for the gift of friendship for, you can write for companionship. And the fact that companionship is so important to us shouldn't actually come as much of a surprise. Our God is Trinity. That's three persons deeply connected and relating to each other, giving and receiving love, knowing and being known, working together in perfect unity. Doing this so much so that they're actually considered one God. And we as humans have been created in that image. So of course, we are capable for closeness and connection with other humans, but not only capable of it, we actually need it. It's a core aspect of who we are. When Adam was first created, he had a perfect relationship with Creator God and was surrounded by a perfect paradise. And yet, In Genesis, we hear that he felt alone because he didn't have another human. So God created the first human companion. Sadly, as we know, some point after that, that perfect companionship and relationship they enjoyed with both God and each other was shattered because of the fall, because humans decided they knew better than God. And every relationship from that moment on has had a pain point in it, some way broken and some way imperfect. And that hurts us too, because we're built for companionship and relationship, and not being able to experience it with some sort of aspect of pain is hard. And also, we acutely feel that loneliness when we don't have a companion. And Paul experiences brokenness too in his friendships. In verse 15, he writes, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me." He was, many people who he considered his friends as Christians had abandoned Paul along the way. Because they were being a Christian wasn't popular. It wasn't a great thing to be. The Jews didn't like them, and Nero, the emperor, started a really hard persecution on them and killing people and torturing people. And because of that, people didn't want to be associated with Paul. Paul was loud. Paul was vocal. Paul was a bit brash. And being associated with him often meant certain death for them. So they deserted him. But then he had Timothy, a friend that stands by him. And I think we can say that a friend that stands by us and keeps companionship in the face of hardship and relational breakdown is truly a blessing and a gift. Moving on, we say, so verse 4, "We long to see you. So, I long to see you so I may be filled with joy." Paul longs to see his friend because being with friends brings joy to life. Paul writes similar sentiments in letters to other friends too. He writes to the church in Rome a massive letter, like chapters and chapters, and he's connected to them, but then he says he needs more. In Romans 15, 24, he says, "I want to enjoy your company." And then in verse 32, he says, "and be refreshed in your company." Even though Paul could communicate to, you know, his arm got tired with them, there was something deeper and of greater joy and refreshment that he'd experienced only in person. And that's because the joy of life is best shared. In fact, there's scientific studies that have been done. Oh, am I done bumping that? No, cool, okay, sorry. There's scientific studies that have been done showing that the joy we gain in everyday life from positive or even neutral experiences, when shared with people, as it happens or talking to other people about it after, actually increases our experience of that joy. And in turn, it increases our overall sense of well-being. It's actually a lot more, it increases our well-being a lot more than just actually reflecting on that joy ourselves or writing it down in a gratitude journal. The actual sharing it with other people is what actually is the difference of increasing our joy. Curiously, another study showed that our personal well-being influences the well-being of those around us to 3 degrees of separation. So when our joy that we share with another person improves their well-being, but it also in then improves the well-being of those who are connected to that person. So this sharing of joy and communion together actually has this ongoing flow effect. So we can be thankful for the companionship friendship. Thank you. Second point, guys, if I can work out this thing, the joy of friendship. So point number 2 is we can be thankful for the joy that friendship brings. And I think that's a really helpful note to maybe the younger ones in the audience. I like to call myself still young. That in the online world, that we need to actually be aware of not being trapped into thinking that the type of friendships and type of connection we gain online is can replace the uniqueness of actually being face-to-face with people. There's something really special about that, being face-to-face and doing life with a friend. So we can have friends that we do life with and who can laugh with us and cry with us and be with us. And these friendships are a good gift from God that God blesses all people with, regardless if they actually acknowledge God or have faith in him. You can be both inside and outside of the family of faith. I've got many wonderful, supportive friends who don't know Jesus. But there's actually another element of friendship that we as followers of Christ, along with Paul, have the blessing of. In verse 5 it says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. Timothy's relationship with God had a profound effect on his friend Paul. It gave him both comfort and encouragement to know that the Holy Spirit was active in his life. And we too can be bolstered in our faith by our friends. And while the Holy Spirit is always with us, and the Holy Spirit is called our comforter, God often chooses to use the words, the actions, and the very presence of other people to do the comforting for him in our lives. There's another story that shows the outworking of this godly friendship even more clearly. In 2 Corinthians 7, 5-6, Paul and Timothy were together in a rough situation, and while they were travelling and preaching, they were in need of another friend in their lives, Titus, not Paul. So Paul and Timothy needed their friend Titus. So let's read from 2 Corinthians. It says, for even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Fighting and unrest all around you and fear within you, hardships every way you turn. Have you ever felt that way? And then what occurs to enable them to keep going? A friend rocks up. So good. We know that we're held by Jesus, but we get to experience that in the here and now when we are physically and emotionally held by our friends. As friends of faith, we get to be conduits of the Holy Spirit to our friends. A conduit is a channel or a pipe that funnels something to a certain location. And we get to be that. We get to be conduits of the Holy Spirit and the love and the compassion and the comfort of God to others in our lives. And we also get to receive from others, the Holy Spirit from others in our own lives. And I think that is possibly the most amazing thing that we can bring to a friendship is our own faith in Jesus. Knowing that we are loved and accepted by God allows us to sit better and be open with people, to truly listen to them and hear them in their situation without needing to gain anything from the situation or to go, oh yeah, that's like me, and start talking about yourself. Knowing that you are loved and accepted allows you to sit and to hear and to be with and to provide comfort, to lament with, to cry with. And then we may have the honour of the Holy Spirit speaking through us. For a long time, I used to freak out about that when I would go to comfort friends in hard situations. Oh, what do I say? What do I think about the situation? Do I think it's good? I don't know. Oh, I've never been in their shoes. How would I know what to say? Oh, should I prepare some Bible verses to bring? But over the last few years, I've had a couple of friends who have shown me that the best way to go into those situations is not always knowing what you're going to say or pray, but rather asking God the question, what is it that you want to say to this person? And then speak and pray out of that. And what God brings to your heart and your mind is often the right things to say. And I've done that sometimes and I'm like, I don't even know why I'm saying this. And the person then just bawls and goes, God spoke to me. And you're like, okay, yep, that was it. But it's that whole getting me out of my way and allowing myself to be that channel of the Holy Spirit. And that brings so much more than just Sarah Timko could bring to a friendship. I could bring horse heads and jazz hands, but the Holy Spirit can bring something so much more powerful than I could ever give in a friendship. And God chooses to use me to be that in my friendship. And the same can be true for you. And then this comfort and this being with then leads to words of encouragement that strengthen us to keep going, to persevere in our current life situation, to persevere in our faith, and then to persevere in the collective mission of sharing the good news of Jesus. Friendships like Timothy and Paul's just don't happen though. They are intentionally cultivated. God led Paul to Timothy, but Paul sought to spend quality time with Timothy, and they both chose to be open and vulnerable. They chose to deepen their friendship by being engaged in God's mission together, loving people and sharing the good news. This type of friendship might be new to you, or something you've known about but never experienced, or something that you once had but feel that lack in your life at the moment. And if that's you, please ask God for deep Christian friends, ones that offer not only companionship and the joys and the hard things in life, but also encourage and inspire you and to persevere in your faith. He is the giver of the good gifts, and He won't fail you in that. But remember that these friendships require something from you too. It takes us to be open with others and also open to the Holy Spirit for those friendships to thrive. So you'll be pleased to know that Tammy and I have moved past public costuming as the main part of our friendship. As much as we enjoy being silly together, our individual faith in Jesus drew us into a deeper openness and vulnerability with each other. We have had been friends for more than half our lives now, and during that time we've gone through different scenes of life, we've done the celebrations and the joys together, but we've also sat with each other in hardship and pain in the worst of times. We've prayed for and with each other, we've cried for and with each other, and we've had the opportunity to hold hope for the other person when that person couldn't hold hope for themselves. Tammy's life and faith encourage and inspire me to persevere in my life and faith. And that is such a gift. So Paul, alone, imprisoned, near the end of his life, could have been pretty down in the dumps. Hey, seriously, God? Is this how it's ending? Really? After all I've gone through and done for you? But rather not, with not having any of his friends present, he lifts his head and he thanks God for his friend who is afar. And out of that thankfulness, he goes on to write this most personal and heartfelt and encouraging letter to his friend, cheering him on to go deeper in the faith, not to let go and let it expand to every aspect of his life. So I'd love us to follow Paul's example this week, to express our thankfulness to God for our friends. I thought we could do that by... do a slide for this. I'm just going to hold up this so I've got it. Oh, can I grab this from you? Thanks. I'll give it back. So I've got some, I've actually got enough of these sheets for you guys all to take one at the door as you go home today. Because on it is a little exercise I'd love you to do today, once if you want to, but every day for a different friend would be amazing. As in kids' ministry, I talk to my kids about a five-fingered prayer. And we know about the prayer types of adoration, supplication, confession, lament. But they're too big for me, those words. So I like this. We've got wow God, thanks God, ouch God, sorry God, and please God. So wow God is be amazed at God, with God for your friend. Thank God. God, you're amazing that you created her like that. Oh, and be specific. My goodness, God, He is amazing. Oh, this is just, wow, you were creative with that. Be amazed. Wow, God. Be amazed at the way God's created your friend. Second one is thanks, God. Be specific in thanking God for your friend. Thank you for the way that they, thank you that they are. Thank you when I see. Thank you. Be encouraged and be thankful for your friend. Ouch, God. As we said, every relationship is fractured and broken because of sin. And so every relationship at some point has a pain point. So talk to God about that. Talk to Him about how it hurts, how it's messy. Maybe there's a great friend that you've had that now is distant from you, you've been estranged from. Ouch, God, tell him about that. He wants to know. Then there's sorry, God. Let's acknowledge the specific ways that we've actually let our friends down. Sorry, God, that I didn't. Sorry, God, that I wasn't there for. Sorry, God, that it was unintentional, but I was so insensitive. Let's repent and let's confess the way that we've actually haven't been good friends. And then please, God, ask God for what's on your heart. Or what's on your heart for your friend or your friendship. God, we've been distant and I don't know what it's about. Can you please bind us together? God, my friend's going through a hard time. Please help them. So they're the five things. They're on your hands, so you can't forget them. And I've also got them on here. So as you leave today, I'd love you to take one of these. You too could draw a picture of your friend, or you can just write down the friends that have come to mind during this time. The good friends, the friends that aren't Christians, the friends that are Christians, the friends maybe that have died, the friends that maybe you don't see anymore. But the next thing that Paul does, he just doesn't say, you know, he thanks God. But then he goes and writes and tells his friend, I thank God for you. And he says this over and over again. I talk to God about you. You know that. And it's for this. These are the reasons why I thank God. And so that's the second part of what I love you guys to do this week. First, go and thank God and pray about your friend. Talk to God about your friend. And then secondly, talk to your friend and tell them that you thank God for them. And Paul does this so many times, so I'm assuming it's something that there must be something about that which is important. And I think it's because it actually encourages us and buoys us. It's another way of being that encouraging friend by saying, hey, you know I talked to God about you, and this is why. Do it to even your non-Christian friends. That's make a bit of a stir. But isn't it amazing? I hope that just even stopping and pausing and putting a spotlight on something which is pretty obvious, friendship, of course it's good, but maybe by looking at the way friendship is a gift, it will stir up thankfulness in your heart for you to actually go and thank God afresh for just how amazing this gift that he's given us is. How awesome are friends? And if you don't have a friend at the moment and you need one, that's such an awesome thing to ask God for too. If you'd love to pray with me or one of our elders afterwards, I'd love that because it's such a special thing. To be able to ask God to provide a friend, to provide a companionship in the flesh. And then in the meantime, when there isn't a friend, you also know that Jesus is the perfect friend, the one that never lets us down, the one that keeps on loving, the one that doesn't seek his own interest. So we know that we can hold on to his true friendship. But also, there is something which is a huge gift from God to have a physical friend in our life too. How amazing. Let's close our eyes and thank God. Father God, I thank you so much for the way you've created us with the capacity and the desire and the need to connect, to have close companionship. We thank you for the way that companionship makes life better, that we have someone walking alongside us in life. We thank you for the joy that having a friend is, and we thank you for the way that we can be held in the really dark times too. We also thank you for the gift of Christian friendship, where that we can receive from you through our friends. Friends that don't need to necessarily understand or get exactly what we're going through, but they can actually be used by you to allow us to be embraced by you and to be heard and to be understood. Father God, we ask you that you help us to be that friend. Holy Spirit, work through us. Fill us with your love to then flow on to other people. Give us wisdom, give us discernment, give us grace to be able to walk through friendships. We acknowledge that there are so many hurts in friendships, and there's so many friendships that have been fractured and lost. And God, we just want to acknowledge that, ouch. We want to acknowledge that that is a hard thing, and we know that you understand. And God, we ask for friends in our lives. We ask that you bless the friendships of our church family. We ask that you'll continue to bind us together and develop friendships amongst our church family. So we're not individuals just rocking up on a Sunday service and then hearing, you know, an in-person podcast and then heading off, but that we will be bound together as friendships that can continue to be companions on the road as we seek to serve and love you together. God, we thank you and we are so thankful and grateful for the absolute gift of friendship. Amen.